Our epistle for Passion Sunday is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. Brethren, when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things to come, he entered once for all through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands. That is, none of this creation. Nor again by virtue of blood of goats and cows, but by virtue of his own blood, into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkled ashes of a heifer sanctify the unclean unto the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the Holy Spirit offered himself unblemished unto God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And this is why he is mediator of a new covenant, that whereas a death has taken place for the redemption from the transgressions committed under the former covenant, they who have been called may receive eternal inheritance according to the promise in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 8, verses 46 through 59. At that time Jesus said to the crowds of the Jews, "Which of you will convict me of sin? If I speak to you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear is that you are not of God." The Jews therefore in answer said to him, "Are we not right in saying that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and who judges. Amen, amen, I say to you, if anyone keep my word, he will never see death." The Jews therefore said, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if anyone keep my word, he will never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom do you make yourself?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you do not know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I shall be like you, a liar. But I know him, and I keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews therefore said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am." They therefore took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out from the temple. Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary,
But Jesus hid himself and went out from the temple. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On this Passion Sunday, my dear friends in Christ, I think it would be good for us to meditate on one of the parables that our Lord spoke. It's the parable of the 10 virgins. Oftentimes we read this parable in Masses throughout the week, but we don't really discuss it. We don't get a time to have a whole sermon about it on a Sunday because it's not presented to us on a Sunday. However, I think it's important for us to consider it. There were 10 virgins. This is a parable that our Lord told. 5 of them were foolish and 5 wise. Now first consider, they all had the same vocation. They all kept away from the baseness of the world, preserved. And they all were given the same information, that the bridegroom was coming. They all got the same invitation. The 5 wise virgins went and prepared. They made sure that when that moment was at hand, they would be prepared. The 5 foolish, they didn't. They got the same information. They knew that it was going to happen. It was fact that this was going to take place. Even they probably held it up waved around their invitation and said how wonderful they were and that they got an invitation, how special they were. But they didn't prepare. They allowed themselves to be concerned about self. Momentary wants and appetites. And then on a certain day that was not in any way indicated, the cry came up, the bridegroom is coming. It's today. It says before that that the bridegroom was late in coming and they fell asleep. But when the cry came up and they were told, it's happening, they went and trimmed their lamps. And the prepared versions, they had enough oil for the lamps. The foolish ones didn't. They weren't prepared. They even went to the others and said, give us some of the oil. And they said, lest there not there may not be enough for us and for you. Rather, go to them that sell it and get some. And when they went to go see if they could get some provisions, which they should have gotten way before the bridegroom came, those that were ready went with him, and then the doors were shut. After a fashion, the foolish virgins came up. Open to us, O Lord. And the most dreadful words that anybody could hear from the Lord, they heard. He says, I don't know you. Our Lord ends the parable, watch and pray therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour. This is not something for us to be fearful of or to be somehow morbid or depressed about. This is information for us to use to make sure we are prepared now. Because the now is the time for us to rise from sleep. Today we walk into church and you see all the statues covered, an indication that our Lord hid from the chosen people, the Messiah, who they had been waiting for. They were foretold. It was foretold to them by the prophets. Hid. Says something else at the very end of the gospel today. And Jesus went out from the temple. The temple was made for him, just like you and I were made for him. We are called temples of God. Now, this is where we consider and we concern ourselves with, well, where's God in my life? Is it just something that we do from time to time, or is the reality of God and my relationship with God true and real? Do I call upon the name of the Lord? Do I call out to my Heavenly Father and make him a part of my day? Absolutely. Not just an idea that kind of floats around. Yeah, I guess, you know. We have this thing called our faith. Well, is that just a thing we do on Sunday at church? Or does our faith, is it in our heart? Is it in our home? And these are questions that no one can answer for you but you. You know. Our Lord says in today's gospel, it is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say that he is your God, and you do not know him, but I know him. Do we know God? If we don't know God, there's a problem. And the problem's ours. If the term or the concept of God is this nebulous concept that we hear all about in fancy, well-scripted words, and catechisms and stuff, and yes, that's God. No, that's a problem. If you don't have a real relationship with God as his child, there's a dysfunction that has to be addressed, and it has to be addressed now. Because if it isn't, and that moment does come, and we're not ready, and when we're like, oh no, open. I want to come in. I want to go to heaven. He's going to say, I don't know you. You didn't get to know me. You want to know the indication of this? Here's the meter. The meter is this, your charity. I'm not just talking about giving money in the collection basket. No, I'm talking about the charity. Think of the person in your life that bugs you the most or that has done you the most injury. And ask yourself, have you forgiven that person? Absolutely. Not necessarily for their sake or even for your own sake, but for Christ's sake. Because Christ says this very definitely. What you do to the least of my brethren, you do to me. We can claim to be disciples of Christ, but a true disciple follows Christ or follows the example. Take a look at the crucifix on Calvary and the words, first words that come out of our Lord's mouth are not hatred, but forgiveness. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. How many times has he forgiven us for things that should have cast us into the very depths and pits of hell? What an example he gives to us and an opportunity he gives to us. But no, I'm charitable. I forgive people, except, yes, but that one. You don't understand the hurt they cost or they gave me. Really? You're going to sacrifice your relationship with your Heavenly Father because of a feeling? No, those barriers need to be got out of the way, and they need to be gotten out of the way now. It takes a moment, and it's proved throughout life. Obedience is another. Christ says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Obedience. Not making up our own rules. If you make up your own rules, you're not going to know Christ. You have to follow Christ's commandments. That's how you abide in his love. And if you love him, then you get to know him. Too many people today think they can make up their own rules. We're not the rule makers. He is. Yes, but that's the problem. We always think we can throw that in there. What are you going to say? Yes, but God doesn't understand. Don't fool yourself. And I tell you this because I don't want God to hide from any of us. I want him to be a part of us in the temple of our soul. But like we started off Lent with the reminder that now is the acceptable time. Now is the time for us to rise from sleep. No one can do this for you but you. And it's the decision that starts in a moment but has to be consistent throughout your life. As we continue with Mass today and we open up our eyes, our spiritual, the eyes of our soul, to the spiritual realities that are presented to us. Christ is presented to us today. When the priest turns around, it's not a symbol when he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, he who comes to take away the sins of the world." Corpus Domini Nostri, Jesu Christi. Custodi animam tuam in vitam eternam. Receive the body of Christ into life everlasting. This is what we are involved with. In order to receive him into our very heart and soul, we have to make room. We have to get rid of a lot of different things. We have to get rid of all our hate, all our uncharity, all our kindness. And we have to decide to be obedient and to follow God's law. Absolutely. But like I said, no one can make the choice for you but you. He's already made his choice. He has proven more than beyond a shadow of a doubt that he wants to be one with us and he wants us in heaven with him. What will our choice be? Let's consider this. Let's not be foolish. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.